Hey, Barb, did you hear about when the past, present, and future all walked into a bar at the same time? It was tense. Oh, wow, what a delay. Dang. Danny, explained it to her. She looks confused. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We lift this time and this message up. We put them into your hands. We ask that you do your will with them. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts. Whatever's not, let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've only been on the Beatitudes for 1 week, and I'm already digressing into a sub-series. I was thinking I would get Kingdom of Heaven done in a week, and that ain't happening. It only took me an hour of looking into it to know that. But it's that important. Because we are continuing on our series on the Beatitudes as found in Matthew chapter 5 and Luke chapter 6. Most of our concentration will be on Matthew. We have seen that the Beatitudes tell us who was blessed, then they tell us what the blessing is. Last week we looked at Matthew 5:3, which says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Last week, we considered what poor in spirit meant and who the poor in spirit are. This week, I want to take a look at why these people are blessed, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For this reward to be motivational and meaningful to us, we need to have an idea of what it means and understand what it is we are getting. For this week, there's a two-for-one week, as this reward is noted twice within the Beatitudes, as found in Matthew 5. Verse 10 says, "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Both the poor in the spirit and the persecuted for righteousness are blessed because they have the kingdom of heaven. Verse 3 and 10 leave us little doubt about receiving this reward, as they state theirs is the kingdom of heaven, not might be, could be, or even will be. So what is the kingdom of heaven? That we would humble ourselves and face persecution from the world to receive it. Why would we reject our own will and allow others to reject us to gain this kingdom of heaven? After all, this is why we are blessed for being poor in the spirit and for being persecuted instead of being accepted. This is our reward for being considered losers in this world. So maybe if we understand what we're gaining, it will make our enthusiasm for the battle a bit stronger. After all, every Sunday morning, don't we ask for this particular blessing to be fulfilled and fully manifested in this kingdom? We just said it. Matthew 6:10, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When Jesus taught us to pray, this is the first thing he told us to ask for. May God's kingdom fully engulf and completely dominate this world. The kingdom of heaven is where the will of God is fully expressed and actualized, with all of its benefits and profits of his kingdom being attained by its citizens. Those who are humble and those who are persecuted for the sake of the kingdom gain full citizenship in the kingdom of heaven with all of its privileges. Let's start by understanding what the kingdom means, as this was once a common thing, but has steadily gone out of vogue over the last 200 years. So kingdom means a politically organized community or major territorial unit having a monarchical form of government headed by a king or a queen. King means a male monarch of a major territorial unit, especially one of those positions is hereditary and who rules for life, a paramount chief. Hence, a kingdom is a place completely ruled by a king for as long as that king lives. Thank you, Pastor Obvious. As our reward is a citizen, so our reward is a citizenship in a place that is ruled not by us, but is ruled by another. In this world, that doesn't sound like much of a reward. That is until you spend some time in a place where God's kingdom has yet to fully come. A place that is strongly influenced by the will of men and of our enemy. A place where the king has permitted us to choose who we serve. a place where our first choice of who we serve is always ourselves. The kingdom of heaven is a place that is completely ruled by God, including the spiritual high ground of all creation, the hearts of men. Luke's account of this beatitude drives this point home for us by calling Matthew's kingdom of heaven the kingdom of God. This tells us that the two phrases mean the same thing. They speak to the same cost, and they offer the same reward in the same place in the teaching. Also used to denote the kingdom of heaven in Scripture are the phrases the kingdom, your kingdom, his kingdom, Christ's kingdom, my kingdom, and even the kingdom of David in particular instances. And that's just what I can think of off the top of my head. The kingdom of heaven is noted one way or another 147 times in the New Testament. That's a lot. It is particularly prominent in Matthew and Revelation. Other kingdoms of scriptural importance are the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of men, Gentiles, the kingdom of this world, and the kingdom of Satan. The last three being particularly the same thing. The latter three are in direct opposition to the kingdom of heaven, as they reject the sovereignty of God. They are somebody else's kingdom. This is a temporary condition, as all realms will be the realm of God. His kingdom is surely coming in all of its glory. When his kingdom comes in full, every knee will bow, every tongue will proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, the one and only King of kings and Lord of lords. Everyone will know that all along there is only one kingdom. As noted, the poor in spirit not only will have the kingdom, they have it already. The poor in spirit are living in the kingdom now. And from this point on, there will never be a time when they do not dwell in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is not a product of the kingdom of men. It is not something we created for our purposes. The kingdom of men is a product of the kingdom of God that serves its purpose. The former would not exist if it were not for the latter. The only thing that truly matters in the kingdom of men are the things that matter in the kingdom of heaven, both now and when it manifests itself fully and engulfs the kingdom of men. The only true reality is eternal. If it ends, it has no bearing or meaning in the kingdom of heaven. There will come a time when the things of this earthly realm will not even be remembered. What job you had, who your friends were, how much money you had, how you looked, your health, how much power you had, your race, nationality, or political sway will mean nothing. Things in this current realm only matter to the degree that they mean something in the kingdom of heaven. And here is what matters in the kingdom of heaven. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you do or you don't do this, you'll know what really matters, one way or another. Revelations 11:15 says, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and then there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever.'" When this happens, and it will happen, the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. This is the moment we pray for every Sunday morning when we request, "Your kingdom come." That moment right there. Revelations 12, 9 through 10 says, "The great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night.'" When the kingdom of our God comes, when the kingdom of heaven establishes itself, there will be no more accusations, nothing left to answer for. This is what Jesus saw happening, what he saw coming. when he said in Luke 10:18, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. This is a prophetic statement made by Jesus as the citizens of his kingdom came back victorious from battle with the powers of the earthly kingdom. When they came back and said to Jesus, we were casting out demons and healing the sick. Jesus said, I saw Satan falling from heaven like lightning. I saw the kingdom of heaven coming. Earthly kingdom is the antithesis of heavenly kingdom. Perhaps one way to understand the kingdom of heaven is to know what it is not. It is not this. Maybe that's the point of the Beatitudes, providing us with a stark contrast between what matters in the kingdom of men and in the kingdom of heaven. A point directly made by Jesus as he stood before Pilate in John 18:36, and Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. But it will be." Jameson Faustin Baker put it this way, "So the poor in spirit are enriched with the fullness of Christ, which is the kingdom in substance. And when he shall say to them from his great white throne, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. He will invite them merely to the full enjoyment of an already possessed inheritance." Let that sink in. The kingdom of heaven is being prepared for you. It is our kingdom because it's our Father's, and we are heirs to him through Christ. The kingdom of God is not the quiet buzz that underlies all temporal moments. The kingdom of God is what dominates all temporal reality and history. It is the force to which gravity, electromagnetism, the strong and weak forces all bow. They exist and function for its purpose. The kingdom of God is the causal effect. His realm is separated from all other realms only by what he permits. It was before anything else was, and it will be after everything else is no more. The only thing that is not completely and fully controlled by the kingdom of heaven is the will of man. And this is a temporary condition. This is so because it is the essence of God, hence the essence of his kingdom, which is love. And the essence of love is choice, choosing another over all others, choosing another over yourself. The realm that is the will of men is the kingdom of men, the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of Satan. This is so because God allows it, because it serves the purpose of his kingdom. This place is where the sons of God are made. It serves no other lasting purpose. This world, this realm, exists by decree from the kingdom of heaven. By law, sin cannot exist in the kingdom of heaven. This is why those who dwell in both kingdoms, us, must be cleansed of sin now and made pure by the blood of Christ while we're here. This is where the lambs of God becomes the rams of God. This is where our flesh dies and our spirit grows. This is where we are conformed to the image of Christ so that we can receive an inheritance with Christ in his kingdom. While the two kingdoms exist separately, they are entangled on a quantum spiritual level. While contrary to each other in practice, they are linked and bound by purpose. God's desire to have sons to express his love to. This is the base cause of every effect. Calvin said, we must make the invisible kingdom visible in our midst. The citizens of this kingdom must see the kingdom of heaven in us. We are the light God chose to set on the hill to guide them to Christ. And God chose to make us shine by being humble and by being persecuted. How we act when and react when we are confronted by the truth about ourselves, humility, and also with lies about ourselves, persecution. We are both humble and persecuted. We can change this world. It shows them how we act in those two things, the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." You can only have the good things of this kingdom if there's no danger of them having you. If you live now for the kingdom of heaven, if you understand the Beatitudes and see the beauty of the witness that such a life is, then you have it all, both now and then. And quite frankly, what you want will have been changed. And I leave you with this from Revelations 5, 9 through 10. "And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the book and break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation.'" That's us. "You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Jesus made us to be a kingdom for God. You want to know what the kingdom of heaven is? Look around this room. This is the kingdom of heaven. In that kingdom, we have been made into priests to God by Jesus Christ. And we will reign on the earth. We will do so because we have been prepared to do so by God through our experiences while we are walking and learning in this kingdom. Amen. Next week, we'll take a look at the requirements for citizenship in the kingdom of heaven.